Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Today we're coming to you from the state capitol in Pierre for the opening of the 2015 state legislature. New Secretary of State Chantal Krebs has what she's calling an aggressive agenda for the 2015 state legislature. It includes some proposed changes to South Dakota's election laws. She served in the state legislature for about a decade before being elected to Secretary of State this past November. And Secretary Krebs, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Well, thank you, Carl, for having me on.
Well, what does it feel like on this first day of the session not to be with the lawmakers?
You know, that's funny you said that. When I was presiding over the House just to get our new speaker elected, the Secretary of State role, of course, gets that and moves that process along for officially getting the speaker elected. And boy, does it feel, I miss it. I really do. I'm, you know, having served 10 years, six in the House and four in the Senate, that's the people's House. And, you know, you just really feel like you're right in with them and your constituents are commenting and calling and emailing, and I hope I don't lose that.
Now, speaking of the legislature, you still have the opportunity to work with lawmakers, and you have some Senate bills, some proposals for changing some election laws. Maybe we can talk a little bit about them. Let's just start with Senate Bill 67.
Great. Well, 67, of course, is the challenge to the signature specifically, but I'm going to back up and probably clarify a few things. We have several pieces of legislation, and it makes sense to explain, number one, the change of circulation date first, and that, of course, is the nomination petition itself for a candidate. Previously, or current law, I should say, says that they can start circulating their petition January 1 and then filing it by that last Tuesday of March. We want to move that date ahead, so to speak, to December 1st and then filing it February 25th, or the last Tuesday of February. And why are we doing that? To allow a greater time for a challenge if an individual, or I should say a citizen, then would have to proceed, and typically any citizen that's going to challenge a signature on a petition is going to proceed into court, give that court more time to be able to review that in the court case before the ballots are printed. We ran up, again, this past primary, ran up against a time issue, a time crunch, where they didn't have enough time for the court to hear it, and before that petition was required to be, before that ballot had to be printed. So we want to change that to give us a little more window, and of course that would open up for the citizens that time frame for them then.
Some of the comments, some of the reactions to that proposal, some concern about moving that back then, creating some problems, because then it's the petitions, you know, they have to get planning a little bit earlier. It happens during the Christmas season, and some are saying that March is a little bit better time because then, you know, spring is starting to arrive and it's a better time to get out there and collect petitions.
South Dakotans, we're creatures of habit. We're, you know, I'm a farm girl. We like to do everything the same way every time. And again, it boils down, the reason is it's truly in response to what happened this last primary election season in the 2014 U.S. Senate race specifically, where there was a concern, and I responded to make sure that we had a large enough, or I should say a window of time frame that was able for the court to hear that challenge. And this is why we're making that change, to respond to the citizens of South Dakota that felt that should be adjusted.
And some of the other proposals then?
Thank you for asking, Carl. So then moving on, another proposal is the actual validity in doing a sampling of those signatures. Currently, and that's Senate Bill 68, currently in state law, the Secretary of State only has the authority to review the completeness of the line of that signature on the candidate's nominating petition. So it says, I'll look at it and say, oh, Carl Gerke, he signed it, and that's it. Nothing beyond that. What I'm asking for is to review that completeness by doing a random sample and conduct that with a 5%, the same and mirroring what we do currently with initiated measures and ballot measures and referendums. So currently in state law, it says that the Secretary of State has the authority to conduct a 5% random sampling of signatures on the petitions for an initiated measure and referendum, but it never was applied to candidate petitions. And I felt, in all fairness, that it should be applied to the candidate petition as well. And what it's going to be able to be for me to do then, Carl, is to look at that signature that, Carl, you are on that line and you say you are where you're from and that you are a registered voter in that county. So it's giving the Secretary of State more authority to then hopefully we can avoid the cases of where we're going into the court.
So this is something of, what would you call it, like a random spot check then, that you can just look over and tell, sort of have an idea that maybe there are some problems with these petitions?
Sure. You know, and we do actually have a pretty a form set out. We have an Excel spreadsheet where we'll have it randomly check certain lines by conducting a set, and we'll make sure on each page of whether there's 20 lines on each petition page in the front and the back. And so out of 1 through 20, it'll randomly pick a number, and it'll just look, and if you happen to be that signature on that line of whatever line 17, it's going to be 5% of the total number of signatures. So we're going to be doing quite a bit of work, actually, because when you look at statewide nominating petitions needing larger number of signatures.
And the other Senate bill that I think I started off talking about?
You're talking about the circulation date? No, excuse me. Yes.
The second Tuesday in March is the deadline.
Thank you. Yes. And that's further clarifying our challenge, a window. So again, going back to the candidates' petitions and the citizens allowing to challenge those signatures, that they still have a 5-day window to challenge the authenticity with an affidavit. But beyond that, we're giving that court date up until that second Tuesday in March. So it's a set date in statute now to allow that. But again, we didn't have that before, but it's giving them a larger window or a longer number of days to be able to provide that court case or court challenge.
One of the issues that came up in this last election was dealing with an independent candidate for governor who wanted to switch his running mate. Is that being addressed at all?
We are. We're working on that as well. Some language specifically on that, where we're saying that if you do have a new candidate put in the spot, we have just a date certified that it has to be replaced, and it's going to be the same date as with any other withdrawal and replacement candidate, which is the second Tuesday in August. So it's clearly stated of a date certain.
Are there other priorities or other things that the Secretary of State's office is working on this session?
We do have a couple other areas, and of course the Secretary of State's office is known for the election arm, but mm-hmm. we do have this other area that we cover, of course, is business services, and down in the basement of the Capitol, our corporations department works on filings, and specifically there, we've never had before nonprofits be required to file fictitious business names, and we're asking the legislature to change that statute and say for nonprofit organizations to also file a fictitious business name registration or document. And what a fictitious business name is that it's really a parent company name. So whether it be Carl Gerke's steak shop or steakhouse, you may be operating under KG. S, Carl Gerke Steakhouse. So it's called the fictitious business name. Is what is your parent company name, or the name that you're actually operating under may not be actually the face that the public sees. And we want to make sure that we open up that information specifically for nonprofits who were not required before. And a nonprofit can be a church, of course, a hospital. And so those are examples where we feel that the citizens of South Dakota have a right to know of who they're operating under, and are they in good standing and legal standing.
Now, I was reading that, there was some concern, or you're looking at an overhaul of state campaign finance and lobbyist reporting systems as well?
We are. We're working on that right now. So specifically the campaign finance reports, which are due and for our statewide candidates, legislators and PACs or any other organization, are due February 2nd. We are working in that with the online and upgrading the online system, so we're transitioning over and helping people walk through that, but we'll have a whole new system up and ready. And of course, we just took office ourselves January 2nd, so it's going to be a work in progress. And that's just based on response. Everything we're doing here in the Secretary of State's office is truly in response to the customers that use the office, whether it be somebody that's filing a report saying it was frustrating and they weren't happy with the computer system, and they felt the forms were cumbersome. We're responding to them and saying we're going to change that and revamp that to make it more user-friendly, whether it be the election proposals that I have, again, in response to what we saw this last election cycle. So we're trying to respond and get ahead of the game, so to speak, so we make it more, just user-friendly in our office, and help anybody that uses our office to make sure it's is compliant and safe, secure, at the same time responding to what they need.
What happens with what's next with these the legislative proposals, particularly dealing with the election issues and the change with election laws? How closely then will you work with legislators? Some of these criticisms or commentaries that we've mentioned, even will these come up, and is there room to tweak some of these
absolutely
bills?
This is public policy at its best. That's what we love the legislature when they come to town. They have every right. It's a public policy decision, and of course it rests with the legislature, and of course every committee hearing will get its due process, and that's they could amend, propose, delete, change, whatever they want to do with that. And of course it does affect you know, some of the legislators or some of the people that are in the committee hearings. But, you know, really it's communication. These proposals came out of the Board of Elections themselves, and this is a bipartisan board that supported these changes. I brought the ideas or suggestions, and then they further reviewed the changes and the actual proposal and the language associated with it. And so that bipartisan Board of Elections is actually the one that is has brought the language to the legislature, not the Secretary of State's office. But again, it was because the Board of Elections' role is to review any election law change that we have, and that should be a part of that process, and that's why that Board of Elections is so important.
Well, Secretary Krebs, when I talked with you in November, not long after being elected, it sounded like you're pretty excited to, you were ready to get started, and I believe you even took your the oath a little early. It's now been, what, maybe a couple of weeks? Mm-hmm. Experience, what's it been like to be the Secretary of State?
I'm first of all honored, Carl. Thank you for asking. You know, I just know that this job, I take it very seriously. There's a lot that the Secretary of State's office does that people don't realize. Again, not just elections, but we handle all the corporate filings, UCC filings, fictitious business name, trademarks, registrations, lobbyists, apostilles, pistol permits. And those are all, areas of government that I think people recognize are needed as far as service. And our job is to make sure that we provide that service in an efficient manner and get that information or those documents out to them. And my focus has been on customer service. You know, my office works for the taxpayer, and we're to respond to your needs as quickly as possible. And I feel that we've already had a change of attitude, and you see that people are just really excited to have us there, and they're working hard. And I tell you, this team has just really pulled together in the last 8 days, and we've made a great transition. It's been very helpful with having folks within the office currently and had been with the previous administration walking us through everything. So, Carl, it's been great and an honor, and we're here to work for you.
All right. Well, Secretary Krebs, thanks for stopping by and talking with us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Carl.